The Mohawk Nation straddles the U.S.-Canada border where New York State meets Ontario. It's a border that many members of the tribe don't officially recognize. And for more than a century, governments on both sides of that border forcibly sent Mohawk children to English-only boarding schools. This process brought the Mohawk language to the brink of extinction. But more than 35 years ago, members of the Mohawk tribe in New York State decided to fight back by creating a school of their own. Reporter Alina Simone recently paid it a visit.
It's a Friday morning ritual at the Akwesasne Freedom School. Some 65 teachers and kids, sporting a mixture of headdresses and hoodies, form a circle and make their way around the room to the beat of a water drum, chanting in Native Mohawk. They always begin with this song, Standing Quiver, a tribute to hunters. It's a social song, not a ceremonial one, which is why I'm allowed to tape it. A lot of reservation schools maintain traditions like these, but when the drum stops beating, the kids go back to class and back to speaking English. But here at Akwesasne, English is the foreign language.
You hear that in the words, and then the A-H is a oh sound.
This is Kahetante, one of Akwesasne's phonics teachers.
And we've been working on these sound charts since August to get it perfect before we can go into the actual incorporating and conjugating of the words.
They also have to find creative ways to adapt ancient words to a very modern world.
How do you say monopoly in Mohawk?
Money. There's a lot of money involved, so we just called it the swista, you know, because owista is money. But they have to use all the words in Mohawk.
Like many other teachers at the school, Kahetante is a native speaker of Mohawk, which is unusual among tribes of the East Coast. But the remoteness of the St. Regis Reservation, which sprawls from New York State across a necklace of islands and into Canada, has made the Mohawk more resistant to assimilation, like when agents from native boarding schools on both sides of the border came for their children.
The government schools are constantly being built. We bring them in, clean them up, and start them on their way to civilization.
So it was common just for people, not within the family, but the Indian agent or an official of the government to come into the home and say, we're taking your children because it's obvious to us you can't take care of them.
This is Kaya Tahente, an upper-level teacher at the Freedom School.
My father didn't go because his father told the authorities that they could take care of him.
Today, they all speak English, and some have taken business courses, home economics, and other higher training.
The Freedom School inverts the practices of those institutions. Boarding schools where traditional clothing, rituals, and native languages were banned by putting Mohawk first.
We're not just teaching you to be a Mohawk who thinks like the outside system but thinks in Mohawk. We're teaching our students to be Mohawks and to speak from the Mohawk perspective or Haudenosaunee perspective, which is controversial.
Yagotni Gona Osta, known by her nickname Peachy, was an early teacher at the Freedom School, which she also helped found in the late 70s, a decade when enrollment in Native American boarding schools was at its peak. During this time, from 1979 to 1980, the reservation was in tumult, locked in an armed standoff against the U.S. government and divided against itself over what began as a dispute over building a fence around the U.S. side of the reservation. Parents began to question busing their kids past roadblocks to state schools off the reservation.
I think there was like 25 of us that used to sit in a group and figure out how are we going to start a school.
Meanwhile, members on the Canadian side had recently created a new school called the Ganawage Survival School as a means of literally ensuring the Mohawk language and culture survived. Suddenly, Peachy and her group had a new model.
There were women that were here that were helping us protest that were from Ganawage, and they were like, we can do this. Don't be afraid to do this. And so people took their kids out of school and we started the school.
Mohawk language was just part of the curriculum at first. The decision to go full immersion only came 5 years later, and it was a bittersweet moment for Peachy.
Well, I was one of the teachers, and I don't speak Mohawk. I have a very small vocabulary in Mohawk. There were several of us that didn't speak Mohawk because we were brought up in the public school system, which doesn't teach Mohawk. So in the beginning, that's what we had. It went on with a lot of English, and there was Mohawk language being taught all the time, but it wasn't all day. It was a heartbreak, actually, for us to make that decision to go totally immersion, because I knew that I wouldn't have a place here to teach anymore.
Ultimately, as a parent, most of Peachy's 10 children are graduates of the Freedom School. She agreed with the decision to make it a Mohawk-only speaking school, even though it did mean giving up her job.
The Ogwazesne Freedom School, the word freedom in there, has to do with the freedom to think. And to be able to think, you need to be able to understand the language. And so that's why, for us English speakers, for our children, we think that we should push that the language be number one.
For the world, this is Alina Simone from the St. Regis Mohawk Reservation.
For more stories about languages and the people who speak them, check out our World in Words podcast. You'll find it at iTunes or wherever you get podcasts.